Jerry Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report. Randy, I know that there's been a lot in the news about Facebook and MySpace when it comes to, you know, problems with malware, but I understand that LinkedIn, a little more serious social network, also has some problems.
Well, yes. There's a company from Denmark, CSIS, C-S-I-S, and one of their employees did a fascinating study and paper about LinkedIn, and the real danger isn't so much directly malware. I'm not particularly worried about going out to LinkedIn and getting infected by a drive-by, but that certainly could happen with any site. However, it's how people interact on LinkedIn. There's a lot of security potential problems from the way that LinkedIn is set up. To begin with, there really is no identity checking. You can sign up on LinkedIn and be anyone that you want to be. In some cases, it's almost like Second Life or pseudo-reality, if you will.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Now, for another, LinkedIn allows you to add virtually your whole Outlook address book to your contact list automatically.
That's right. I remember doing that when I first signed up.
Yeah, so Dennis Rand, the researcher at CSIS, was doing a test, and he created a fake person. And it's just amazing, as you read through his study, how many contacts his fake person got. I mean, within a few minutes, he was able to find 10 people with public email addresses. So his fake person sent, who has a very, very impressive resume working at major companies, had sent out invites to 10 people. Within 3 hours, it was getting acceptances of the invites. People who he didn't know, who didn't know who he was, especially since he was a fake person in this case. After 3 days, he was getting invites from other people just trying to grow their networks larger. In less than 2 weeks, this fake person had a network of over 1,300 connections with email addresses.
Oh, my God. Now, what would such a fake person do with that many LinkedIn associates?
Well, for one, it gives you a nice email list to sell to spammers. And, I mean, not just spammers. Like, one of the biggest segments of industries using LinkedIn are recruiters, human resources,
and
recruiters. So you can sell these semi-qualified lists to such organizations as well. This kind of information can be extremely useful for people performing spear phishing or whaling.
And remind our listeners what those two terms are all about.
Okay. Generally, a phishing attack is sent out broadly to a whole bunch of people. So I might not bank with Chase, which was one of the most widely targeted banks for phishing attacks, but I might get an email saying there's a problem with my Chase account. That's a very non-targeted attack. However, when bad guys know something about their intended audience, such as who they work for, who they bank with, things like that, then they can begin to craft phishing emails, these ones that try to trick you into giving up information, that are much more convincing because they only go to people that they apply to. So we tend to call that spear phishing when it's targeted at a specific group of people or even at an individual.
Yeah, I can see that would be a little bit more compelling if it was coming directly to me and actually, you know, the English was correct. What's whaling?
Whaling is a term that was made up because basically you need to have catchy terms to get headlines in the news.
Right. That's what you do when you've been fished.
Yeah.
Whaling.
Whaling is spear phishing, except the target is like a major CEO. So, for example, a spear phishing email that's targeting the janitor at General Motors, that's spear phishing. It's targeting one of the board of directors or the CEO, that's whaling. So the whaling, the difference between whaling and spear phishing is where the target sits on the totem pole.
And what kinds of things would they ask the whale?
They would generally be trying to get competitive information or, more likely, credentials to log on to the network so that the remote attacker can go and find out anything that they want to on the network, because these people have a high level of access to important trade secrets.
Right, right. And I would imagine even, you know, the head of a medium-sized business might be considered a whale. So you don't necessarily have to be the chairman of General Motors to be a target of one of these things, I would assume, since that really is the entry point to the entire network.
Correct.
What kinds of things should you, if you're a whale, what kinds of things should you be on the lookout for?
People that, of all things, are either asking you for help or offering you help out of the blue, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one, I don't know if you'd necessarily call it whaling, but perhaps. In one case, a pretty senior person at a bank got a request from someone who claimed that they had been a victim of identity theft and needed help with their account. In fact, it was just a ruse.
Right.
It was definitely targeted at this person, and the person ended up tricking this bank officer into giving the information required to empty someone else's account out.
Oh, geez. Yeah, so, it's funny. I wouldn't consider myself a whale, more of a minnow, but I did get an email saying my warranty was going to be invalidated if I didn't respond to a recall that had never actually occurred. But they wanted me to click the link and go to the site, and as you've said over and over and over on these shows, never click on a link that you're, you know, not completely comfortable with. Well, that's very interesting. These are some thoughts that obviously our listeners should take to heart and be aware of, especially as they're looking at their employees are looking at social networking sites and professional sites, and if your HR person is involved in something like LinkedIn, what to be thinking about in advance. So if people have additional questions about LinkedIn or whales, the Herman Malware stories, where do they reach you?
They can reach me at askeset@eset.com.
Terrific. Thanks very much, Randy. This has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.